Hi everyone and welcome back to another episode of SYD Life. Today we are going to be talking about cultivating a good relationship between parents and teenagers. We're going to be joined with a guest, so stay tuned for a great episode. So.
Yes?
It's official.
What?
Alex is
You're
gone.
You're married.
Oh. Surprise! That would be crazy one day.
Yeah.
Not today though.
Would you do an arranged marriage?
If it gets to it.
Mm.
I honestly...
Lower rates of divorce.
I honestly think that like it would make things easier.
Easier.
It's like a bit dire in my community.
Yeah. It's not the norm in...
No,
in Sydney,
no.
To have an arranged marriage,
no,
as far as
really.
I know.
Yeah. Maybe we're just not aware.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
No, that's
I probably
right.
wouldn't.
That's right, you're still young.
Yeah,
you're
still right. Got time. Only 21.
But yeah, gosh. Got married at 23.
Yeah, my
you got 2 years. Oh my gosh.
My parents were married at 21.
Sticky. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel? Like you've done nothing with your life?
I'm like waiting for my sister to get married.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Lucy can...
Yeah.
Lucy can do it.
Your clock's fine.
Yeah.
Lucy's though.
Don't say that.
I'm joking.
Something I wanted to talk about.
Yes.
The thing that has been all over my reel feed is the USA gymnastics team.
Like Simone?
Simone Biles.
She's back.
She is back. There's like this guy called Frederick Flips who got onto like the male team.
Yeah.
They are so good.
Wait, his name
good.
Is?
No, that's
legitimate.
Sorry, that's
oh,
his,
okay.
Because
I was
going to
say he was born for gymnastics.
Yeah. If only. But I am obsessed.
Wow.
I'm so excited to watch the gymnastics at the Olympics.
Yeah.
Have you seen Simone's opening tumble pass?
I've seen like, I mean, I was excited when she came back.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's been established that you and I are the least sporty people to talk about sport.
Yeah.
And yet we will.
Yeah.
Unabashedly.
Yeah.
And something comes upon me.
Yeah.
Every Olympics.
Yeah. It's like, but it's a bit of a,
yeah.
It's complicated being in Australia this time because it's 3 like 3 a.m. But I'll just become nocturnal. I don't care.
Yeah. I'll probably just watch the highlights, but.
No, I like, I want to sit
through it.
That's
just my commitment level.
Yeah. Yeah, to be honest, I probably will.
But I get what you mean because, like, I'm not saying up for the cycling.
No.
You know, there's certain sports.
Yeah.
It's probably for me, like, love a bit of diving, synchro diving.
Yes, it's like the diving, the swimming.
Ooh, is that it?
I like
that.
That
was two things. Oh, no.
I like the 100 meters.
Well, the Tillies. Tillies will be the Olympics, so soccer.
I like the 100 meter races.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
But I don't care for like discus and javelin and stuff.
No.
But like the 100, 200 meters. Yeah.
Are you into power walking?
That stresses me out. Watching how like dislocated she collapses.
No. That Spanish walker.
No.
And she thought she got bronze. Like she was a
yes!
She was like a
oh
meter
my
from the
gosh.
She puts her she
gets the flag.
Flag out,
and
arms
then someone
up, tongue out. She was like you know, like I've done it. And
someone
this
overtakes her.
Just and the
she's
the
like
moment.
Yeah.
Which I feel for her.
It's pretty rough. It's very embarrassing.
Yeah. Did you know my mum?
No. She didn't.
She, in year seven.
No.
Just like everyone had to do
a
school walk, right?
Oh my God.
And she somehow won it. Right? And
go
then
Amanda.
And then she was like, wait,
am I
a good walker? And then year 7 to 12,
no.
She was the reigning Ravenswood Girls High speed walker. She did not miss a year.
That is iconic.
Isn't that? I'm like.
That is iconic.
I would tell everyone about
I would.
That.
I would put that. I've just started my LinkedIn page. That would be my top. My top line.
CEO and former
speedwalking champion. Because it gets people interested.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to not even run once.
Yeah, it's impressive.
That's a mental
it's
feat.
It stresses
yeah.
me out. Like
yeah.
Their knees go like. Backwards. Like it's
yeah,
scary.
Which is actually an ick for me.
Yeah.
Which my knees do this because I'm hyper flexible.
So am
I. And so when I stand straight, it's like they're concaving.
Yeah.
They're like They look like a bow.
I remember in one time in ballet, my ballet teacher was like,
oh.
But it's like kind of the look in ballet.
Is it?
So, yeah. Because it's like you want to have your legs so straight that they look like they're bending the
but
other
that's
direction.
The problem.
But
they're not straight. They're like.
Yeah. But she made me like come and like stand in front of everyone and she, everyone was like, look, oh, okay, look at her legs. Oop. And I was like.
And that's where the trauma becomes. Yeah. I call them banana legs because they've just got this.
It's like curve.
Unfortunate curve.
Yeah.
Curvature.
Totally. Are you a big music festival person?
I have never been to a single music festival.
I've been to one. I went to...
In my life.
Oh my gosh, why can't I remember the name of it?
Splendor.
No.
Move in the Groove.
No.
Move in the Groove.
Groove in the Move.
Groove in the Move. This is telling.
Oh my gosh, it's not Listen Out. It's like one of those ones.
Does it matter?
Laneway.
Oh.
It does matter.
Yeah.
Because there's a bit of a scandal where literally all of the music festivals in Australia are being cancelled. So, Splendor...
Why though?
Well,
tickets aren't being told.
It's the conspiracy is that like there's not a very good answer. So Caloundra Music Festival just cancelled forever.
Oh.
Like it's done. They've like they're shutting down. Splendor sold tickets and then like the week later cancelled it. Grooving the Moo did the same thing where they sold tickets and then a week later cancelled it. And so like right now Listen Out and Laneway are like the only ones, but it's suspicious. So if anyone out there knows why.
What's the leading theory?
Let us know. A lot of things, it's just like, it's so expensive.
Yeah.
But Splendor kind of had it rough because they like had it on and then it got COVID. Mudslides. Oh. Like it was like bad vibes. But it's suspicious. My journalist brain is like, it's time for an expose.
Mm.
Who is the CEO of Music Festival Australia? Is that a thing?
No, they're all independently around. I mean, you know, there's government laws around it. Yeah. But maybe it's opening up a space for Fyre Festival to have another
Fyre.
Go. Yeah.
Shut up. That is my, have I told you how what? Much it's, to bring up my sister
the
again,
documentary.
It is our most watched film. We probably watch it upwards of 50 times a year.
That's like once a week.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
It's so good. It puts things in such perspective. If I'm ever stressed, I put on Fyre.
Life could be worse.
It's like
life
at could least be worse. We don't have 600 people coming to an island in the Bahamas with nowhere to sleep. We just love it. Like we can quote the whole thing. We have our favorite character. Like I follow people.
Fyre Festival.
Yeah, I follow people from the documentary on Instagram. Like we are so obsessed.
They should be in jail.
Well, Jimmy is.
Okay, here's my
thing. Ja Rule isn't.
We watched it on our honeymoon for some reason.
Oh.
And it was the most like stress inducing thing.
Yeah, I know. I because it's like watched. You think it'll get fixed and then it's like.
And then they just would double down.
Yeah.
They'd be like.
No. They say we're a solution based company.
Too deep.
Yeah.
You're a like head in the ground based.
Yeah.
Company.
It's crazy.
Oh, I was stressed.
You should watch it again because. But if you think of it as like I'll never be in this position. Mm-hmm. It's a bit better.
Maybe. I'm still young.
Oh, God.
I've got some plenty of mistakes to make.
I think you're safe from this. But yeah, love Fyre.
So. Yeah.
But yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe Jimmy's behind.
Maybe, here's the thing, Shah. Maybe if his mum had a better relationship with him growing up.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's not such a great segue for me. Because we are going to get straight into it. It usually is the parents, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
Formative years.
Yeah. Nurture versus nature.
Bit of both. It's a bit of both.
It is a bit of both.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's get into it.
Absolutely.
We're going to be talking to the incredible Lauren McDonald.
Yes.
We love this family so much.
Yes.
They have the most beautiful children, her and Craig.
Mm.
So get ready. Well, I'm now here with Lauren McDonald. She is a mum of five and an inspiration to me. She's an absolute beautiful woman, and we are so blessed to have you here.
Hi,
so thank you so much for joining us. So we're going to be talking about kind of how to cultivate like a good relationship, a healthy relationship between parents and kids and teenagers, and like we love your kids, but yeah, love how you've like raised your children. They're so respectful, so much fun, and so we want to get a bit of an insight into how you guys did that, you and your husband.
Yep.
So to start off, I wanted to know, like, in terms of setting up, like, I guess, like, security or independence in your kid, is that something that you've, like, you taught? Like, how did you teach it? Give us a bit of an insight into that.
Okay. So I think, well, security, I think, is one of the big things you really want to create for your family. And part of that just comes with picking your husband in the first place, mm-hmm. or picking your wife in the first yeah. place. You know, choosing someone who you can be your whole self with.
Yeah.
Choosing someone who you can accept as their whole self, mm-hmm. and someone you're not desperately trying to change all the time. Mm-hmm. And that kind of security can then lead into a family.
Yeah.
So I think that it all goes back there. And I think even before you're getting married, just accepting yourself, finding out who you are. And, you know, for me, it was developing a really close relationship with God, because yeah. he had accepted me as I was. So mm. that was where I could just be my whole self. And so then I could develop who I was and accept myself. Yeah. And that kind of personal security mm-hmm. came first, I think. And so I would recommend to anybody who's out there waiting for a husband or a wife or anything, just work on who you are yeah. first and accept yourself, so yeah. that you can be your whole self with whoever it is. And then when you have children, accepting them as whole people.
Yeah.
I think that's a really big thing yeah. to create security for them. They're not something that you are necessarily going to mold from scratch, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. They yeah. are, they are already
yeah.
a whole person.
Yeah.
They come fully formed.
Yeah.
And they've already been designed and created in a certain way. And yeah. now your job is to accept them
yeah.
as they are, and then to give them that security that allows them to grow into this incredible human being yeah. who they are. So yeah. Just giving them lots of opportunities to know they're loved. Mm. And one of the things that I remember when I was an early mum, I remember early tantrums and early
yep.
things in public that hadn't happened before, and thinking, oh my goodness, you know, this is embarrassing or this is a nightmare. And then thinking, hang on a minute, in this situation, who matters?
Yes,
and
sure.
I looked around me, there's lots of people watching me, but none of them mattered. The only person who actually mattered in that situation was my child, and how I dealt with my child and giving them security in that moment, accepting them but still expecting of them
yeah.
the right thing, whatever wow. it was that they weren't doing. Mm. I was expecting the opposite and still dealing with that situation but saying, you are loved. I don't care about any of those people. I care about your future and
yes.
yourself and who you are and
yeah.
that kind of thing. So it's just sort of being able to turn off all the other voices was really important. And yeah. I think just and accepting that your kids aren't you.
Yes.
Really, it's a really big factor
yeah,
from the very
that's
beginning.
A big thing, yeah.
Yeah. And your husband or your wife isn't you
yeah.
either.
Mm.
And that's my husband and I are quite opposite.
Sure.
So I think when we were first married, we worked out a lot of things.
Mm.
I think I noticed this. So some couples, their child is the first person who's different. You know,
yeah,
if they've
right.
married someone really similar and their sure. child's really different, they suddenly go, oh, hang on a minute, yeah. I've got to learn all this now.
Yeah.
And I often
yeah.
thought, oh, I was really lucky. My husband and I were quite different because we
yeah.
worked out a lot of stuff
yeah.
when we were first married. And then, yeah, when you work out that your kid actually isn't like you at all, they don't respond like you, they don't think like you, but allowing them to be themselves. So I think
yeah.
that kind of thing is giving them security that they can be their whole self. They don't have to hide anything from you.
Yep.
They don't have to pretend to be someone else. They can be
yeah.
who they are, and you're going to support and encourage that
yeah.
in themselves. Yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. so good. And
so,
yeah, in terms of like, because I guess that means that there's like trust that needs to be built
yeah.
between the parent and the child
yes.
in terms of like the child feeling safe
yeah.
and like feeling that their parents trust them to be themselves. Do you have any like advice on kind of fostering that?
Oh, yeah. I think one of the things that I worked out was that you can't always trust your child.
Mm.
And they can't always trust you.
Yeah.
But for us, because we're Christians, we just went, well, we can both trust God, and God sees everything. He sees
yeah.
their side of the story. He sees your side of the story. He sees bigger things around the picture that you haven't even found out yet or thought about
yeah.
and the future and the past and any other things that might be in it. And so it's like, actually, I really want to trust that this situation is going to work out okay.
Mm.
So you don't have to put full trust in your child.
Yeah.
You can put full trust in the Lord
yeah.
and then you can go about setting you know, teaching. I think that really for me it was explicitly teaching them how to do things.
Yeah.
And saying, okay, well, this is how we, you know, very early on it was how we crossed the road. I think
yeah.
one of the ones that sticks out for me is things like at the crossing, the road crossing.
Yeah.
I used to watch the teenagers crossing at the wrong place. Mm. And, you know, in the school that we were at, there was a lot of near misses and people were, it was a dangerous situation. And I thought, oh gosh, that's just amazing. But then I'd also watch parents like racing across with their little toddler in hand from their car.
Yeah.
And not using the crossing. And I think, well, that child is now being trained not to use the crossing. Yeah. And so I would say, okay, well, I have to train my child to use the crossing so that when I'm not there later, they'll be able to just automatically use the crossing. It'll be a normal thing. And I think that's a really simple example of something. If you want them to go in a certain way when they're older, you've got to start young.
Mm.
And you've got to say, okay, well, we're going to put those building blocks in place.
Totally.
Yeah. So just, okay, we're going to walk up to the crossing. We're going to wait. We're going to look both ways. And then we're going to cross when there's no cars coming. And then we're safe and we hold hands, blah, blah, blah. And then you take one bit away at a time. You take away the holding hands. And then you say, okay, I'll wait here while you cross. And then you slowly step out of the picture. Yeah. But they always know that's the way to go.
Yeah.
And that was the sort of thing with everything, just explicitly teaching whatever I needed to teach so that I knew that later on they had the skills to do that.
Yeah, no, that's really good. Like explicitly, practically teaching them things. Yeah, that's really good. In terms of like communicating with your kids, obviously that's like such a big topic.
Yes.
But is like, do you have a perspective on like how we can do that well, or maybe like do's and don'ts, or what worked for you, what didn't work for you in terms of being able to have open conversations and I guess like everything comes back to that trust, but specifically in terms of communication.
Well we worked out pretty early, my husband and I, that we weren't very good at following rules, because we would always question rules.
Sure.
So whenever we'd think, okay, our kids, you know, need to do something, you know, go in the bath or something.
Yeah.
It'd be like, okay, well, you could have rules and you could have schedules and you could have times and you could have all that, but we'd always break them because we usually had another baby that we were dealing with or whatever. Or if we had a, you know, a chart, or, you know, we got to try and get our child to do something, let's put a chart and stars and what, we could never do any of that.
Yeah, no, totally.
It was just impossible.
That's the same as my family. I feel like I had so many like like chore lists and stuff. It just never ended up happening.
Well, we worked out how to do it.
Yeah.
But what we worked out was we had to do it our way.
Yes.
You know, we couldn't we couldn't follow other people's styles, or we just, that wasn't our system or whatever.
Get creative.
We had to get creative.
Yeah.
And we had to work out, okay, so for example, the jobs, we'd say, okay, well, I worked out I could divide the whole house up into 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say, well, everyone's got a 5 minute chore in the bathroom. Someone cleans the sink, someone cleans the toilet, someone cleans the bath, someone cleans the shower, someone mops the floor, and that's the bathroom done.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. So when talking about communicating with them about it all, you know, we'd sit down and we'd talk about it, and we'd say, look, we can't follow you up the way, you know, with stars or whatever, but we expect it to be done.
Yeah.
And so you know, you're part of a community, and the community has to work together to make this place work.
Yeah.
And we just talk about the need that was there for whatever needed to be done. And we talk about why, we talk about how, and we'd explicitly teach them, this is how you clean a bath, this is how you clean a toilet, this is how you wash whatever. Or for example, things like if someone's not wanting to do something and they're angry and they're arguing or all that, or just for some reason it's not working. Say, for example, I'm calling out, okay, everyone's time to do your bathroom duty, and someone says, oh, no, I can't, I've got an assignment or whatever.
Yeah.
I've always said that it's okay. There's always negotiation.
Yeah.
But you have to learn to be able to negotiate. So you can't yell at me. You can't have a tantrum. You can't just speak in a way that isn't going to work, but you can come and give me your case and I'll listen, and I'm not the holder of all information, and you can explain to me your point of view, and then we can go from there.
We can figure it out together.
So I think there's a lot of figuring out together, and there's a lot of discussion, and there wasn't a lot of I don't think I've ever said to my kids because I said so.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot of backwards and forwards, and just I also know that some of my kids are better than me.
Yeah, right.
At a lot of things.
Right.
A lot of things they're better than me at. Mm-hmm. And it's accepting and finding those strengths.
Yeah.
And then asking them to use those strengths for the benefit of everybody.
Yeah.
And talking to each other about how could you make this better?
You know,
if you think this is a dumb idea, then
yeah.
What's your idea? Because it could be better than mine. How can we use your idea? What can we do?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that kind of thing. Just really valuing their strengths as well. I think that's a really important thing.
Mm, yeah. Like, I love what you're saying about how, like, kids have so much to offer as well. And so giving that space. I mean, I'm talking not as a parent here, but, yeah, like, I so appreciate that in terms of, like, yeah, drawing out, like, the gifts that people have and stuff. Yeah, so how have you, if you want to go even maybe, like, a bit deeper in, like, seeing, like, the value in something that you've noticed in your kid and how you've kind of drawn that out?
Yeah. I have one daughter who's an amazing administrator and it's a great weakness of mine.
Sure.
So I've really appreciated her administrative strength because she will remember times, dates.
Mm-hmm.
Things that need to be done. You know, she'll say to me one morning, oh, Mum, we've got a follow-up appointment at the dog groomers today. And I'll think, really? And she'll say, yeah, because we were there 6 weeks ago and it was on such and such a day. And remember we went at 11:15 and they said come back in 6 weeks since the date it is today.
Wow.
So she'll remember that kind of thing. And
that's
that's amazing. So if I'm in a situation where I'll need something administrative, I often say, can you remind me? Because you're really good at that. Mm-hmm. And that's not my strength. That's a weakness for me.
Yeah.
And she will really, she'll encourage me. She'll give me 2 minute warning. She's better than a phone.
She's that's so good.
So there's all those sorts of things and there's plenty of those things.
Yes.
Everybody's got something. And I guess the other thing too has been, this is a really big thing for me, has been not to box my children.
Mm-hmm.
And just because she's a good administrator doesn't mean she's not a creative.
Yeah.
Or she's not a sportswoman, or she's not a amazing something else.
Yeah.
You know, and she hasn't got other strengths that are yet unnoticed.
Yeah.
And things like, just because my kids might have sung off one day doesn't mean they're tone deaf.
Yes.
It doesn't mean they can't be taught to sing in the future. It doesn't mean they can't learn music or do something.
Totally.
Or, you know, just because they did a bad painting once doesn't mean they might not be a secret artist somewhere.
Yes, totally.
And it's that whole allowing. And I've never said, oh, your first child, your second child, your third child, your fourth child, your fifth child. This must be your role.
Yes.
Or your style.
Uh-huh.
And it's allowing them to come out of those roles. And, you know, sometimes my fourth child will lead, or my, you know, third child, second child, it doesn't matter who, but in different situations, they'll all take that leadership role. And I always encourage the others. Like, there's a lot of conversations around, just because that person's done that annoying thing once or several times or has been doing it for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
That still doesn't mean it's not just a developmental stage that they may grow out of.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean that for the rest of your life you have to see them through that lens.
Mm.
It's working out, okay, how can I see how can we all see each other through a lens of acceptance but also belief that there's a future.
Yeah.
So it's like that, having that faith expressed through love.
Mm.
You know, we have faith that you're going to turn out really, really well. And you're going to be amazing.
Yeah.
My husband always said, we're going to have amazing teenagers.
Yeah, wow.
We're just going to have fabulous teenagers.
Yeah.
And he just
really
wouldn't accept it any other time.
Wow.
And I had another case where I had somebody say to me, some family member, an extended family member say to me, oh, so-and-so is just like my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up in jail, of course.
Oh, wow.
This person.
Oh,
and, it's just like my brother.
Oh, no.
Annoying everybody. I could see it. Blah, blah, blah.
She
was speaking all of this sort of negative and no hope kind of language over this child of mine. And I just said, no, I rebuke that.
Yeah,
I don't believe that for my child at all.
No,
I see a future that is really bright and I see that there's a long road.
Yeah.
And I can see there are lots of skills along the way that are going to have to be learnt. But no, I don't I don't accept that, and I rebuke that, and I ask you never to say that again.
Yeah.
And I think there's been another time where I've had to speak to another family member who said something and I've had to say no. We don't speak like that over our kids. That's not how it goes. We believe for them not to be stuck where they are. You know, there's a future and there's hope. And I think that's, it takes a bit of, what's the word? Courage, I guess.
Yeah, courage.
Courage to be able to say, no, I believe for my kid. And I'm not going to get swayed by the social norm or the group or the peer or whatever. Yeah. And I'm, who, like, it's again coming back to that, whose view here matters.
Yes.
And it's like, actually, my view matters.
Yeah.
Because my kids listen to my voice every day.
Yeah.
And they're going to hear it in their head for the rest of their lives.
Yes.
So that really matters.
It really matters.
Yep. And what does God say for them? Like, he doesn't see them. He's not judging them like that.
No.
He's accepting them as they are. And so I'm going to have to do that too. And their view of themselves matters. And how they are going to see themselves matters.
Totally.
And all those other people don't matter.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, how are we going to help our kids move forward?
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. I love that. So. I think, would that also come into like independence as a topic as well? Like how important that is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think... I have a real, what's the word? There's a real fine line and a balance between interdependence and independence.
Yeah.
Because as a community and as a family, but then as a wider body of Christ, we want to be interdependent.
Totally.
Where we rely on each other, but we rely on God as well. But then we also then have this, because of that, we have a foundation and a security, then we can step out and be really independent and have this strength that we wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah.
And it's being able to not just walk out and be alone and so independent that you become weak.
Yeah.
But to have that interdependence and then be able to sort of let each other go.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
So, yeah, being able to, you know, let your kids move forward and be independent of you. But again, it comes down to how much work did you do when they were younger?
When they were younger,
with all that explicit teaching, how do we do this? How do we do this? How do we do this? And then when they're older and they want to be independent, they've got really good skills.
They've got great skills, I'd love, because I know, I feel like your kids have talked about like their financial kind of security. I'd love if you could talk about what you've set up for your kids there.
Oh, yeah, okay. It was actually a Connect group discussion.
Oh, wow.
One time I had a Connect group that I went to that I think I only went twice.
Yeah, right.
And one lady.
And it was gold.
It was gold. Yeah. And then it closed and I was horrified. But there was this one lady there whose name I can't even remember now. And she said she'd set this thing up for her kids and it was based on the teaching of someone. I can't remember who.
Yeah.
And she had... My kids were about kindergarten. My oldest was in kindergarten.
Yeah.
And she said she'd set up four boxes and she'd given them a pocket money amount and they had to split it across the four boxes.
Yeah.
And so they had 10% was a giving. And for our family, it was tithing to church.
Yeah.
And it was, that was 10%. And then 50% she called wealthing, which meant saving for the long-term future.
Yeah, wow.
So, and building wealth for yourself that you could then have some security with.
Yeah.
And then the last two boxes covered 40%, which was 20% of spending and then 20% of long-term spending. So your current spending could be things like go to the canteen or you go down to the local shops or whatever. And then the long-term spending was, you know, I want to save up for a box of Lego and it's going to take me a few weeks to save up for that. So we, you know, my kids got $2.50 in kindergarten and then they'd put it all aside.
Yeah, right.
And then they would, and eventually I think we got to about year three and I had had a cleaner every fortnight and she had to go back to Brazil and I said, well, I've got $52. How can, would you like to help me with the cleaning?
Right.
And I can now spread out that $52 amongst you.
Yeah.
And then we can add to what you're earning. And so after that, then it started going up slowly over time.
Yeah.
And then, so the kids have always done it and their little wealthing got bigger and bigger, and they learned how to not actually do much spending. They started to do a lot more long term.
Yeah.
I really want that Lego faster, so I'm going to make that happen.
Totally.
And then when they got jobs, they then started doing it themselves. Yeah. So they'd tithe and then they'd put some money 50% away, and then they'd have their spending.
Yeah.
And even now, my son, who's in year 12, he's not got a job currently, but he's got so much saved up.
Yeah, right.
That his wealth thing he never touches still, because we call it the house account. You know, you save up for your house.
Yeah.
And he never touches that, but he's still got enough money in his savings to get through
to,
the
like,
year.
To support himself.
And support himself.
There's
through.
More time to have a job.
Yeah.
Year 12 hectic.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, wow, that is.
So it's a really good system.
Really good system.
I was so grateful for that Connect group.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Like, oh my gosh, look at this. That's perfect. Yeah. And even things like that, that's helped with independence.
Yeah.
Because like my kids, we're really tight budget-wise. And we, you know, we have to really be careful of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And there's been times where I'm thinking my kid will be saying, oh, I need, you know, singlets and undies or something, you know, that they really need. And I'll think, oh, I can't get that right now.
Mm.
But, oh, you can afford
it. You can afford it, yeah.
And why don't you get that out of your money and then I can get something else later on.
Yeah.
You know, we can swap. Or things like, I remember that being in a shop once and the girls wanted those Sylvanian Families.
Oh, yeah, classic.
Toys.
Yeah.
And I said to them, well, maybe you could afford this.
Yeah.
And they said, quick, look in our bank account and tell us how much we've got. And they had like $400 sitting there. And they were both, oh. And then one of them, well, the older one, had more than the younger one.
Mm.
She was on a higher wage at the time.
Yeah.
And the other one was $20 short. And the younger one, so her sister said, I'll lend you $20 and you can pay me back.
Yeah.
But she was only earning in that particular box a dollar a week
at
the time. So it took her 20 weeks to pay back the debt to her sister.
Wow.
But at the end, she said, Mum, I never want to be in debt again.
Yeah, my gosh. Learn that young.
And I thought, what a great lesson.
Yeah.
You know, they've learned this amazing skill. They've shared, they've helped each other, but they've also learned they don't want to be in debt. And they did it all with their own money.
Yeah.
You know, I got a clean toilet. And, you know, it's all worked out.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
So, really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good system. Everyone should take that one home.
Yeah.
Take that one home. Put that one into use.
Well, whoever that lady was, thank you.
Yes. If you're out there. Yeah. Wow. That is. Yeah. I'm going to write that one down. Remember. Yeah, remember
really
for
good.
The day.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else you want to talk about?
Okay. Well, I guess the big thing, I guess, would be the power of words.
Yeah.
That and it's a really creative power that it has. You know, there's the power of hugs and there's the power of, you know, setting everything up really well, etc. Mm-hmm. But what I've found is there's a huge power in words. And even when we named our kids, their names have meaning.
Yeah, right.
Because we figure their name is going to be the most most
things spoken
common
over
word
them.
Spoken over them.
Yeah,
you know? And if that word has meaning and it has a positive, powerful, forward-moving meaning, then that's what we want to speak over them.
Yeah.
And so I guess whenever something happened, and I look back at videos now and I laugh because I watch the kids laughing and shouting and doing things and doing the wrong thing, and then I hear myself correcting them on the video. And I think, oh, my gosh, you sounded so calm.
Yeah,
but
right.
But in my head, I was like, freaking out, you know. But I had this idea in my head from early on that the words we say and the way we say them really, really, they create something in your family.
Yeah.
And I remember reading a book by Steve Bidoff really early on who said things like, if your kid's climbing a tree and you're really worried they're going to fall down, don't say, you're going to fall. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Say, put your foot here. Put your hand there.
Yeah, right.
Help them.
Yeah.
Rather than tell them. And that helpful words will create what they're going to do.
Wow.
Whereas if you say don't fall, what they hear is fall and then they fall.
Yes.
And then you say, I told you so.
Yes.
Whereas you want for them to get to the top of the tree or to get to a safe place down on the ground where they're safe again.
Where they're safe.
And then you say, well done. But you never say, you should never have done that.
Yes.
But now you've taught them.
Yeah.
How to go. So you want to be talking to your kids in a really positive and creative, helpful way.
You're like productive.
Productive way. Yeah,
totally.
And then one of the things that I found really helpful with scripture has been going in certain circumstances, you know, they talk about people bashing you over the head with a Bible, but it's not. What I found is scripture is really helpful.
Yeah.
Like the words in scripture are really creative.
Yeah.
They create something.
Yeah.
And so, for example, I had one of my kids was really struggling with anxiety
mm-hmm.
and just really not knowing what to do. So I thought, okay, well, let's see what the Bible says about mm-hmm. anxiety. And so we'd go to a verse about anxiety and it yeah. would say, you know, give all your anxieties to God. So we'd actually practice doing that in a really physical way.
Yeah, right.
You know, they were really little.
Yeah.
And so we'd say, okay, well, think about the thought. Okay, yeah. now pretend you're grabbing it out of your head and now give it,
yeah.
you know, to God.
Yeah.
Or we'd say, you know, there's another verse that says instead of thinking about bad things, whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is lovely and trustworthy, think about these things.
Yeah.
And so we'd say, we'd go through the verse word by word and we'd say, okay, well, okay, think of something good. What's a good thing?
Yeah.
You know, and in our family, the joke is it's always think about grapes, because when I was little, all I could think about good things was grapes.
Yeah, they're great.
So, but we'd say, you know, what's good? What's something good in your life? Think about that. Okay. And then we'd say, okay, what's lovely? Think about something lovely.
Mm,
and then we'd actually yeah. practically walk through the words.
Yeah.
Because they're all really, they create something.
Yeah.
And instead of saying it's all just, what's the word? It's a nice platitude.
Yeah.
It's actually a really practical way
mm-hmm.
to deal with something.
Yeah.
And so we had a lot of things like that where we used words from scripture. We just go and find a verse that we knew had to do with that subject. And mm-hmm. when you actually read through the verse, you think, oh, that's actually really practical.
Yeah.
I could actually do that. If we break it down word by word and step by yeah. step, we can walk through that and we yeah. can explain each word and what does each
yeah,
word
I love that.
Mean and that kind of thing. So I guess, I think for me, there's a big creative power in words.
Yes, totally.
And it's been really helpful to be practical with words.
Yeah.
If that totally. Makes sense.
Yeah, because I feel like some of my memories as a kid, I remember so specifically what my parents would say to me. And so it makes such like a lasting impact.
Yes.
So yeah, that's so good to kind yeah. of like really consider everything
yeah.
you say. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
So, and at first it feels weird because I didn't grow up as a Christian
mm-hmm.
and I remember saying things like, God bless you to my kids.
Right.
In the evening. And I thought, this feels so weird. So, it doesn't sound right. And just being really intentional, no, I'm going to say that. And just saying, I love you all the time
yeah.
is a really important one. And, again, it doesn't feel normal.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel practical. And my husband, it didn't feel normal, but yeah. now he can say it all the time and yeah. really easily.
Yeah.
And I think it's just that practice, mm-hmm. even though, because the thing that you don't think about as a parent, unless you make yourself think about it, is that your kids haven't lived this life yet.
Yes, totally.
For them, all they will know is that their mom and dad said, I love you all the time.
Yeah.
They'll know that they said, God bless you all the time.
Yeah.
They won't know that you struggled with it.
Yeah.
They won't know that you
totally.
Were thinking, oh, gosh, this yeah. sounds so weird.
Yeah.
They won't know that. Mm. All they'll know is they felt this security
yeah.
because they were loved.
Yeah,
and wow. they had this beautiful word spoken over them.
Yeah.
Even though in your head you might be thinking, I can't believe I'm saying this.
Yeah.
You actually are creating that security
totally.
For your kids by what's coming out. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So that's something helpful.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like you rounded out so perfectly to finish there. Thank you so much for joining us, Lauren. Such a blessing
it's
to
a
have
pleasure.
You on here. I know so many people are going to be so impacted by all your tips and wisdom about it and what you've experienced. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for everything you do.
Great. Shah, Lauren, that was amazing.
Yes.
I think I'm a young dad, so that was
yeah.
very helpful.
Yeah, love
apparently
it.
It just gets harder the older your kids get.
I'd say so.
So the goal is to have a great relationship.
Yeah.
When my kids are teenagers.
Yeah. Bambi's going to be a great teenager.
I know. Yes.
I
want to be like best friends with my kids.
Yeah.
But also their parent.
Yeah. So there's anyway, a balance.
Tough one.
But yeah.
Lauren's nailed it.
She's nailed it. Her kids are great. So.
Good. But yeah, we hope that was helpful.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So you're going to try and embarrass me again?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Because post riddle
yep.
was rough for you.
It was rough. I mean, like, you had to be like a savant.
What?
A savant.
What's that?
Very smart person. Like Rain Man.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Beck got it.
Figure that. Yeah, well, Beck's
she is
above
a savant.
Average IQ.
Yeah.
And that's why I fear if we were on a season of Survivor together.
Yeah.
I would come
she'd
second.
Get you. Yeah.
Yeah. No, she would blindside me like 2 days in. Yeah.
It would be nice to have like a friend around though.
On Survivor?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But until you can't trust anyone.
No, you can't. Ooh. Yeah. No.
Love Survivor. But yeah, I'm going to give you a who am. I'm going to give you okay. two who am I's. Okay.
Are they alive?
Yeah, they're both alive.
Great.
I'm not crazy.
So it won't be.
Jesus.
Jesus is alive.
Oh, no.
The orgy check.
Oh, no. Who's dead? Paul.
Paul.
I wish he wasn't. Okay. I was born on the 11th of February, 1981.
81. Okay. So okay. talking about like a 45-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay.
I rose to fame in the late 1990s as part of a band.
Mm.
I was the worldwide ambassador for watchmaker's company TW Steel. It's a fun little fact that I found about this person. I was ranked at...
Okay. Go
the
on.
The grammar of this does not say... I was ranked at 20... At number 20... Yes. Under Fuse's list of 100 most award-winning artists.
I need to know if it's a guy or a girl. Keep going.
It's a girl. Sorry. Oh, it's a girl. I should have started with that. Okay. I am a girl.
Wait, so it's a girl. When they were like 20, they were in a girl group.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
I have won 5 Grammys.
Okay. Beyonce.
Close.
Kelly Rowland.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
that's an easy one.
Was not going to guess Michelle Williams.
I was going to say my second last clue was one of my bandmates is called Michelle.
Oh.
Yeah.
People forget about Michelle.
Yeah, they do. I didn't know she existed until recently.
Yeah, well, she,
she does. Okay. Yep. The next one is a little harder.
Can I just say that was second guess? That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was great.
That was good.
Yeah. Okay, I was going to do Beyonce, but I was like, it's just too obvious.
Yeah. We're big Beyonce fan.
Yeah.
Big.
Yeah. So I thought I'd slide it in there for you.
Okay.
That one's for M.
It's for you, babe.
Tyler's wife.
Yeah.
Okay. This one is a man.
Mm-hmm.
I am somewhat of an Aussie icon.
Mm.
My first job, I worked as a carpenter. I'm so bad at like
having a straight face. Why is this funny?
Like I'm scared I'm gonna like give my face is gonna give it away.
Okay, I won't look.
Okay. I own my own cattle farm in Mudgee.
Clive Palmer.
No. Oh. Can you imagine? I nearly lost...
Wait, did you say when he was born?
No.
Mm, okay.
I nearly lost my index finger when using...
Shannon, no.
No. Oh. A band saw. I have 3 kids, 2 of which are twins.
Oh my gosh.
I have won several Logie Awards and I'm often known to repurpose them into things like a bottle opener.
What?
Do you not know that fact? Okay.
Oh, no. So, okay. Wait, is he a singer?
No.
Oh, he's just an icon.
He's just an Aussie icon. This next show will help.
Oh, but Logies. Okay, so he's in TV.
Yeah.
Oh,
I have hosted the same TV show for over a decade.
Oh, The Block. Scotty Kemp.
Yes!
Oh! Yes! Okay, that was like my 5th guess.
But...
Going from Clive Palmer to Scotty Kemp is pretty good.
Yeah. My last few clues were his first job was on Backyard twins. Blitz.
Wow.
Yep. And then I was saying like, the show I host is like a home renovation show.
We are blockies.
Yeah. So I did that one for you as well.
It's a lot of like...
Yeah, you guys are obsessed.
There's a lot of junk.
But it's,
and it's a full-time commitment. It's like 5 nights a week.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. We have to like block out our calendar. For like 4 months.
Wow. Yeah. Mm. When I was a kid, I watched The Block a lot. I just love the home rent. Like I love the transformations.
Like nighttime TV has quite a hold on our household. And it's pretty much like this. It gets Survivor at the top end of the year.
Then MasterChef.
Bit of like in between. MasterChef.
Yeah.
Bit of in between. Into The Block.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of just struggle over the Christmas period.
Yeah, there's nothing on over that time.
But it's probably good for our brains.
Survivor should do 2 seasons. I've always said this.
America does.
Oh, I need to start.
They do like Feb and September, which is...
Yeah.
I actually think they like overproduce. Because I think they're so like... in their production that they have to like copy and paste quality. A lot.
By the way, if the producers of Survivor are watching, I have 2 things to say. Number 1, Tyler needs to come on your show. And number 2, I want to help make the challenges.
Oh.
I want to design.
Challenge beast.
The challenges. I want to let me in.
Yeah.
Let me in. I have ideas.
Okay.
I genuinely have ideas. And I can't tell you Eddie off the top of my head, but I have ideas.
I feel like your vibe would be like
actually
torture chamber.
One of the producers follows our meme account.
Yeah.
As if I haven't just slid into the DMs.
Oh, yeah. Shara and I run a Survivor meme.
It's called Survivor Memes for Aussie Screens. If you're interested, give us a follow. We'll be back next Jan.
Yes. So, yeah, in between now and the next podcast, hit up our meme page.
Because it's pretty good.
Yes.
It's quite funny.
It is good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But on that note.
On that note.
That's all for today.
Thank you.
That was great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Shara.
Thanks so much for listening in. Mm. If you haven't listened to our other episodes, go give them a binge. Mm. And yeah, we are on Instagram and TikTok, YouTube at sydlife.podcast if you want some nice micro content. And make sure to share this episode with a friend if you think of them.
Mm.
And that's all. Goodbye.
See you next time, guys. Bye.
Bye. This podcast is produced by C3 SYD Church. We exist to know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. For information, head to c3syd.church, and for more content, go to @sydlife.podcast. Help us reach more people in Sydney by sharing this episode with a friend.